mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning's message is from that gospel lesson we just read a few moments ago, and a little bit extra as well. The part, of course, Simeon's song, "Lord, now you're letting your servant depart in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory of your people Israel." Dear friends in Christ. Well, it's 40 days after Christmas. 40 days after for the gifts to be forgotten. 40 days for the bills to start coming in. And a little bit less than 40 days for the New Year's resolutions to either be successful or be given up on. Today's gospel, as I was telling the children, brings us back a little bit in time. It has a Christmas flavor, if you will, as Jesus here is a baby being carried in his mother's and father's arms. At Christmas, of course, we expect big things. That's not what's happening today, of course. On our regular calendar, it's Groundhog Day. And for those who care about the weather, and for sports fans, it's Super Bowl Sunday. And that's about it. I mean, it's nothing really big happening today. But today, a big thing does happen. What happens is that 40 days after Christmas, everything changes when Jesus comes to the temple for you and me. It's 40 days after Christmas. And so in keeping with the law, Mary and Joseph have brought little Jesus, 40-day-old Jesus, to the temple to present him to the Lord. Big things happen on this day. There's the man that's waiting there in the temple for a promise by the Holy Spirit to be fulfilled, Simeon. And his life is going to be changed forever. A little bit later in the text, an 84-year-old widow who had spent her whole life in the temple worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day, her name was Anna. Her life is going to be changed forever. And of course, Mary and Joseph, well, their lives will surely be changed forever. So for you and me and for every Christian man, woman, and child, everything changes this day. First, you've got Mary and Joseph. They don't look like much when they walk into the temple that day. We kind of forget that. All the pictures that we see, all the paintings, all the depictions we see of the Holy Family, even like something like this that we have on our screen today, they somehow look magical, you know, mysterious, larger than life when they come into the temple. But they're just poor working people. And we know that they're poor because of the offering that they bring. Leviticus called for a lamb to be sacrificed at the presentation of the firstborn, along with a pigeon or a dove. But if you can't afford a lamb, then it's a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And that's the situation that Mary and Joseph find themselves in. They're poor folk. You probably wouldn't have noticed them if you walked into the temple that day. But Mary and Joseph, well, they were just like every other parent, in a way. I mean, think about it. When you ask parents what they wish for their child, the answer is always something like happiness and health, maybe a long life, maybe that their child would grow up in the faith, maybe that their child would be a good person. A lot of times, parents also express their fears about their children. They hope that they'll be safe from harm, that they won't get into all of the things they can get into. They hope that their child won't be corrupted by what's on television. And they pray that their child will never have to be sent off to war. What parents are really saying in all of this is that they hope that their children won't break their hearts. Pretty much. They do want what's best for their kids, but it's also about their own feelings, their own hopes, their own dreams. They don't want to have their own parental hearts broken. So what do Mary and Joseph hear about Jesus? Well, they hear Simeon's prophecy. The first part, Lord, now let your servant depart in peace. We know that he had been sitting in the temple waiting for the consolation of Israel. But what we read right after this, in verses 34 and 35, is a little bit more of his prophecy. Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts will be revealed. That's Simeon's prophecy after he says what we see in our text. Now, even though Mary and Joseph appear to be nobodies, the son that they bring to the temple that day is going to turn the world upside down. And so he won't have our version of happiness. He's going to lose his health for our sake, for the world's sake. His earthly life won't be a very long one. And those that were in the faith will consider him to be outside of the faith. He won't be safe from harm. What he's going to do is he's going to hang out with alcohol abusers and prostitutes and tax collectors. And he'll be sent off to war against nothing less than sin, death, the devil, and hell. He'll bring about the fall and the rising of many in Israel. Jesus is going to bring about the fall and rising of the whole world. He is the stumbling stone, as Paul calls him in 1 Corinthians, a stumbling block. Those who are offended by him, those who would reject his love, those who want the world to stay its old, broken, hurtful way, those are the ones that are going to fall before him. But the lowly, the meek, those who are suffering, the sinful, the repentant, the hopeless, the lost, the lonely, those who are world weary, they're going to be raised up by him. Simeon was one of them. He was a man on a mission, always looking, always searching, always living on the promised hope that he would not die until somehow, sometime, some way, he would see the face of the Lord. And he wouldn't have peace until he saw the Lord's Christ with his own eyes. And that peace, of course, gave the church a song. A song that we still sing. Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your words. For my eyes have seen your salvation. Someday, you know, we'll sing that song perfectly because of the child that's presented that day in the temple. You see, this child is the one who changes the world. And this is how he does it. He fulfills the law on our behalf. Every last detail of everything that God ever commanded us is completed in Christ. For this reason, he's brought to the temple. Mary came to the temple for her purification according to the law of Moses. Yes, God had declared that women, after giving birth, had to offer a sacrifice. In the case of a poor family, two turtle doves or two young pigeons. But this sacrifice, it wasn't required to pay for some sin in the mother or because childbirth itself created any kind of guilt. Instead, it actually reminded the family that the sin of Adam and Eve was always being passed down to the next generation. There was no escaping it any more than someone could make their way into this world without being born. And sin always requires a sacrifice. But, and there was one exception, of course. There was one who entered the world by birth without inheriting sin. This child was conceived without sin because no human father passed it down to him. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. And that was God's perfect plan. so that Christ could fulfill the law for those who did enter the world corrupted by sin. And of course, I'm talking about you and me and the whole world. Mary's purification was a picture of the purification that you and I need. Without it, we'd be lost forever. Jesus is presented in the temple as our substitute so that we would be purified. So in those moments that you or I feel world-weary, as if everything around us is out of control, we can cling to faith. We can cling to the promise that God is not only still ruling the universe, but very present, even right here where we are, present in our sacraments, in holy baptism, in the Lord's Supper, where His body and blood that we partake is there. And when He can be our only comfort, He's right here to comfort you and me. Just like Simeon, our eyes have also been opened to see Him, even in the worst of times. In Jesus' weakness here as a 40-day-old baby, we see our salvation. And so in our weakness, when we're just as helpless as a 40-day-old baby, we have the Lord's salvation. The light of the world doesn't come as a lightning bolt, but as a tender light there in Mary's arms, in her little son. Of course, it's true that He doesn't stay little. He grows up just like every other child does. But already here we can see the baby, as we see the baby Jesus, we actually see what He has come to do. Not only is He going to keep all of the law perfectly in our place, but He's also going to provide the payment that covers all of our sin so that we can come into His place. As I said at the beginning of the service, Mary and Joseph could not afford a lamb to sacrifice. But here is the wonderful irony, or the wonderful, I don't know if irony is the best word. See, there's a little more to it here than their poverty. See, the lamb is really the baby that's in their arms. John the Baptist declares, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world," as Jesus is walking by. Jesus is the Lamb of God. He is the sacrifice, the very final sacrifice. And that sacrifice won't be made until the Lord returns to the temple again, only to be cast out, to be pierced and nailed to the tree outside the temple for us, for our forgiveness. And He will, of course, fall into the pains of death, into the sorrow of burial for us. But He will also rise for us. So that as we pray today in our collect, that we may be presented to God with pure and clean hearts. That's who we are because of this day. 40 days after Christmas, and our salvation is growing and showing. We are now Simeon, ready to depart in peace. We are Mary, with a sword piercing our hearts until the day that our eyes are opened for good to see the Lord's salvation, to look on the light of the world, to rejoice in the Lamb of God, and to dwell forever in His peace. Amen and amen. And now may the